This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. The sermon for this Reformation Sunday is according to the revelation of St. John. When we think of the Reformation, we tend to get kind of reminiscent. We focus heavily on the past, our thoughts center on such things as Martin Luther nailing 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg. Reformation is grounded in a lot of old school tradition. We sing Divine Service 3, just like now. We sing A Mighty Fortress, just like we did. As we think of the courageous reformers like Luther fighting the good fight against wickedness and heresies, because of the geographical nexus of the Reformation, we also tend to associate the Reformation with which country? It's okay to say it. Yeah, Germany. We think of even Germanic things, which are not bad. Things like bratwurst, beer, I'm pro, and even things like polka music. You can either be Norwegian and German and cross that line, no problem. Actually, there's a lot of Europeans who dig polka, so don't pigeonhole it. The Reformation and Oktoberfest are often, you know, pretty close to each other, and they tend to go together pretty well. But sadly, many people believe that those two can't be separated. I was having this conversation with some of the church members here last week, thinking that when we would have our Reformation party, people would always just bring German dishes. And that was all fine and good until about 75 South Sudanese Africans joined our congregation. And they're going, what? So they would bring Sudanese food, which, by the way, so we showed just how open-minded we were. I was kidding. It was a remarkably delicious. So we started to talk, that even got us talking about what is the Reformation? Who is it for? But if you don't like bratwurst and sauerkraut, well, I just... I'm sorry, I'm going to get lost on a rabbit trail there. So what about events portrayed like in the book of the Revelation? When you hear Reformation, does your mind immediately go to the book of Revelation? Probably not. Maybe the book of Romans. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified by his grace as a free gift. We're going, you know, you're getting there, Pastor. Keep going. We are justified by faith apart from works of the law. Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. That's the message of the Reformation in a nutshell. That makes sense. But Revelation, that's all apocalyptic doom and gloom, right? That's end of the world kind of stuff, people will say to me. Isn't that Armageddon? Yes. Reformation? Not so much. Well, that's where we're wrong. In fact, the lesson from Revelation hits the Reformation nail on the head. Think about it, and don't overthink it because it's not difficult. What about an angel, a messenger from God flying directly overhead, high noon? This is showing that the time to listen up and pay attention is right now. it is immediately overheard, and it is urgent. Now is the day. The heavenly messenger has an eternal gospel to proclaim, not just to bratwurst-loving Lutherans, but to all who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. That means everyone. And what is the universal gospel message? Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Okay, that doesn't sound very gospelish, Pastor. The hour of his judgment has come. That's the best you can muster up for Reformation Sunday? Is that all you got? Because it has the word judgment in it, people tend to get a little squirrely. Folks, look at the cross. Just so you know, so we're all clear. Here we see God's judgment. Here we see it in the flesh. In all the history of mankind, past, present, and future, here is the hour of God's judgment. Here is that moment in time when all of God's righteous wrath was poured out on living, breathing flesh as punishment for sin for all time. Here is where all sin for all time was paid for in full. So look at the cross. Look at God himself in the flesh, battered, bloodied, dying for you in your place, battered, bloodied, and suffering his Father's righteous judgment against sin, so that you would never have to taste a single second of it for yourself. He died the death to sin so that you wouldn't have to. It is finished once for all in him alone. And because of his all-atoning death and resurrection, our Heavenly Father shows you mercy and grace. He justifies you. That's a judgment word too. The divine judge declares us innocent of all sin. He justifies you. People forget that a judge has two judgments that can be rendered, guilty and innocent. So when we go, "Boy, you're getting all judgy on me." Well, I hope so. I hope you are being judged innocent. You are saved not because of your works, but because of him and his justifying grace. The truth, as in the way, the life, and the truth, has set you free. Notice the language here. It is so very important and yet so often missed. You are set free. You don't earn your freedom. You don't make yourself free. The truth sets you free. Therefore, you are free indeed. Isn't all this reason to fear God and give him glory? Isn't that it? Isn't that what you need? Look, his hour of judgment has come. It's come and it's been fulfilled in Christ. This is precisely why that angelic messenger also says, "Worship him." Folks, this is what the Reformation is all about. I'm not discouraging any of you from bringing bratwursts at all. But what it's about, all the focus is on Christ. Man, if you guys were in Bible study today, you'd be going, "Whoa, once again, God's word crosses over." Because every time we have a celebration and it's focused on anything, it should be focused on Christ. Even All Saints Day, which we will celebrate next Sunday. It's not about the saints, it's about Jesus for them. See, that's a Christ-centered celebration. All the focus is on the Heavenly Father. All the focus is on his unconditional, unmerited free gift of grace, which he bestows upon you, and not because of your works, but because of Christ alone. It's sad when you think about it. This all seems so simple, and it is. And yet, it was so radical and revolutionary in Luther's day. We have to be understanding of the Middle Ages. We have to be understanding of a time that was pretty bizarre. But in every age of the church, not just Luther, in every age of the church, there's always been those who went, stop. We don't do that. Look at the Nicene Creed. Has there ever been a more of a brakes hitting the train and going, stop. We don't do that. And it's pretty remarkable. But when you see in Luther's time, even worse, it's still radical and revolutionary in our day as well. Just like those living under a tyranny of works righteousness in Luther's time, it's like those in Luther's time who were trying in vain to work off their sins or to earn or to buy their way to heaven. Many today will regurgitate scripture saying that they are saved through faith alone and grace alone of Christ alone, but then in the next breath say, now here's what you need to do in order to be saved. Lutherans go, ugh. It's sad, but all those, even Protestants who today are really celebrating nothing more than independence from Roman Catholicism are still laboring under the same yoke of works righteousness that they accuse Roman Catholics of loving. And they're still laboring under this, under the same, continue to labor under. They don't recognize, what they recognize is, I don't really know what they believe, I just know I don't like Roman Catholics. And once again, I have to take my glasses off. It's a lot easier to hate Roman Catholics than to learn what you believe. They don't recognize that they're still toiling in a system that robs Christ of his cross and the grace that he won for you on the cross, as well as denies the blood-bought cruciform grace that bestows upon us right here in word and sacrament. They may change the name because nobody would ever want to be called works righteous, but they're still laboring under the law, which cannot and does not save. If the law could save you, then Jesus was kind of pointless. The Reformation is alive and well, my friends. And it's so sad because salvation for so many, well, actual, real, Christ-loving Christians remains a question mark. Individually, I'm not talking even about a denomination. I'm talking about Christians who live in this world and still wake up in the morning and ask the question, am I really saved? Am I saved? I don't feel saved. Am I good enough? They'll ask. Have I done enough? They'll ask. Have I done too much for Jesus to love me? Have I sinned so far that he is now? That's it. They love Jesus. They really do. And yet what they don't know and fear is they look past the cross and his means of grace and they try to find their own works lurking behind the cross. And every time you look at your own works, they're going to go, I'm sorry, this is light. It is to this darkness and fear and uncertainty and false works righteous assurance that our Lord's heavenly messenger still proclaims, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him. If your church says you've got to be right with Jesus before you come here, notice that church has an exit door on it. If your church says you've got to have your ducks in a row all the time, or I should say this, if you come to church pretending that your ducks are all in a row, you're kind of making a mistake. Because the fun thing that I've learned is let's see, 1991, however long I've been a Lutheran, is that everybody in church is messed up. All of us, pastor included. All of us are broken, fallen sinners. That is what makes the church the church. Broken people needing Jesus. Not people who are basically good who are showing up, but broken people who need Jesus. And guess what? Jesus doesn't disappoint. Dear friends, you know this pure law and gospel truth, and that the divine truth has set you free. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All are redeemed totally and completely in the all-atoning death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Baptized into Christ, you have been set free in Christ. That's simple. And may this Christ-centered, life-giving truth of baptismal freedom be revealed through you. May this light of Christ, this light of your justification in Christ and because of Christ, shine forth in your heart and soul like the noonday sun. May it shine forth in you and through you and say to you in your daily worship, in terms of reformation, may you ever and always be that heaven-sent messenger of justifying gospel to every tribe and nation and person that your Lord brings you into contact with, whether it's in our community or in our school. Always pointing to and glorifying Christ in all your words and deeds. Faith alone in God's grace alone because of Christ alone. That's what it is. It's that simple. And yet without the Holy Spirit, impossible. That's why God does not disappoint. He sends you his Holy Spirit. The fact that you believe this stuff that I'm up here talking about is a gift of God. To say that, you know what? I have peace. I close my eyes at night with the peace that if I don't wake up alive, I will wake up with Christ and truly be alive for all eternity. May this Christ-centered, life-giving truth be with you. Faith alone. Grace alone in Christ alone. And that's what it's all about, now until the end of the age. May you always be able to say, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.